who was drunk on the lake, drove into his father's boat, and I think it was an uncle, and they were killed. He was 26 years old. He said when he was at the funeral, an old friend of his father came up to him and said, I want to tell you some things about your father that you don't know. And he said, you know what the job of the preacher is? To tell you something about your father that you don't know. Some intimate feelings, some things out of his word. And that's the kind of man I feel that Brother Davis is. He's gone through some very difficult times in the last 2 years, but he's come through it victorious. And I'm so glad that he can come to this pulpit this morning. He's going to be here tonight as well. Would you welcome Reverend Davis?
Bless his goodness. Praise God. All right, everybody say praise the Lord. How many still likes Jesus today?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. God bless you for being here, and thank you for standing. And if you would like to stay standing, let me read a scripture. I'll let you be seated, and you won't have to stand again. Sometimes in church, we feel like yo-yos going up and down, don't we? Huh? Years ago in our church, we had a man come into our service. We was having one of those nights where everybody wanted to stand and praise and magnify God. And he said, how much do these pews cost you? I said, thousands of dollars. He said, you wasted your money. Nobody here uses them. But we love the presence of God. If you have your Bibles, you may turn with me for my assignment today in Romans chapter 1. Verse number 20. Being in the presence of God, you know, it's like fish in the river. If you take the fish out of the river keeps flowing. You don't diminish the river, but the fish dies. If you take us out of God's presence, God keeps being God, but we don't fare well. God is good at being God. Nobody's ever been as good at being God as God. And a lot of folks try to be like God, but God's good at being God. He's perfect at it. Every once in a while, you'll see a politician who thinks he is God, and he gets to this sad awakening one day that he ain't even close yet. Praise God. But God is always God. He's always eternal. And nothing in him changes. That's what I like about him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always this way. Such a mighty God. Praise God. We take God's word by faith. I had someone tell me a long time ago, he said, well, there were some people who supposedly got saved in a denominational church, but he said they kept coming to him saying, I don't feel anything. He said, I told them, you don't feel nothing. You just take it by faith. He said, did I tell them right? I said, no, you did not. You take God's word by faith. You take God by experience. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's not a faith. You don't just, amen. I've had people try to sneak in some squash on me before. And thinking I could take it by faith. It was unbelief all the way. I rejected it. I taste and see it was squash. They said, you ain't gonna believe. You know, down in South where I come from, they do a lot of deer hunting and all. And I don't like deer meat. And people all the time tell me, the problem is you've never had it fixed the way I fix it. I said, if you got to fix it a certain way, you don't like deer meat either. I know, I said, you got to back over it with your redneck truck, then you soak it in beer, then you soak it in garlic, then you soak it in something else, tobacco juice or whatever. I said, elephant tastes good if you do all that. Man, anything tastes good. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You don't have to fix him. He tastes good just like he is when his presence moves. Praise God. All right, how many is interested in what I've got to say today? I would like to help you today if I could. I hope while I'm speaking today that somebody will keep their focus up here. Let me tell you something. And I know you're still standing, and I think I am too. And I'm going to let you be seated for a couple hours so you'll feel all right. Amen. But God's presence is here to do something. When you pray, remember this. If you don't remember anything else I say, remember, I do not pray to talk God into being good. God's good if I never pray. God is a healer no matter how sick you are. Amen. God is a savior no matter how lost you are. No man is saved and lost by what he feels. I had a man one time got saved. He said, well, when you said what you did this morning about a man is lost, even if he don't feel lost, he's still lost if he's not saved. He said, he got the Holy Ghost that morning. He said, I realized I didn't feel lost, but I was lost. That's right. You can feel saved, but the bottom line is we're saved because we obey God's word. Romans 1 and 20. Let me get to this verse here. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And they, so that they are without excuse. I want to talk to you about this today. The things of him are clearly seen. I want you to keep as much focus on what I'm saying today as you can. If there's anybody around you, move. Just don't turn your head to them. Keep right up here. You're going to miss a miracle if you start moving around and get restless and nervous and distraction. You can take away. The whole thing is focus. Put your focus right on God. Praise God. When you put your focus on the negative thing, you start releasing doubt and fear and unbelief and everything else. That's why a lot of times I pray with people, I close my eyes. I don't want to see their pain. I don't want to see the look on their face. I want to close my eyes and see Jesus. That's where I can release. You release where your focus is. That's right. If you look at someone set by you that never worships, never says praise the Lord, you're going to feel uncomfortable worshiping God. I always get by people who want to worship God. If they don't want to worship God, I don't want to be by them. I sat by one man worshiping God. He asked me, said, dear, you're getting a little loud. I said, well, pity you. I'm fine. Amen. I never apologize about praising God. People have oftentimes problem coming to the apostolic church. They think we're loud and noisy. When you get to heaven, there was thundering and lightning right around the throne of God. That's what the Bible says. And the voice of them that praised while God was as the voice of many waters. And when you can say, hey, can you turn it down? God says, no, this is my spot. We're not turning nothing. We're going to praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you. You just passed the test. Some of you, I was taking your name down. I was going to make you come back after service today to write. When Reverend David speaks, I'm going to shout amen. Hallelujah. But that's right. So what we have to do is understand noise doesn't bother God. Noise doesn't really bother the world. They think it does, but they go to ball games and they go a lot of places and they hear all kind of noise and it doesn't bother them. It's the kind of noise. When you're lifting up God, it irritates the people. That's right. So I lift him up. It's okay to praise God. Noise doesn't bother God. He made Niagara Falls. He made the thunder, the lightning. I was out playing golf one time, and lightning struck near me, and I threw my club in the air and screamed and jumped and run. That's right. So when you get to heaven, there's going to be some noise, so you might as well get accustomed to it. If you think this church is loud, the world of faith, well, pastor, they're crazy loud sometimes. They get loud. But an apostolic people get together, we make a joyful noise. Don't worry about the noise. It's not bothering God. Amen. Amen. God's never offended at praise and worship. Come on. I want to talk to you today about a few things. If you can help, help me. I hear myself good, my sound man. Thank you. You're doing good. I went back and threatened him a while ago, and so I told him if he didn't do it like I wanted, I was going to key his car. So they sell the light. Praise God. We give honor today to Brother and Sister Schumacher, great pastor and his wife, lovely family, and his family. I'm just getting acquainted with his family, you know. They live so far away. If they would move all y'all down closer to me, I could get to know everybody better. But everybody's so nice to me. People have been so complimentary. I think last night, I don't know if I did any good or not. I tried. I struggled through. But I feel extremely right now. I feel like somebody's going to get healed today. Right and somewhere in this service, if you'll believe what I'm saying today. If you'll focus on the Word of God, you're going to release faith. And when you release faith, God releases power. And God gave me a revelation several years ago. It's not in the power. I used to preach, sometimes we don't have enough power. God said, that's not true. There's enough power. There's enough power in this place right now to raise the dead, to heal everybody with pain right now. There's enough power here. There may not be enough faith, but there is always enough power. It's never a power issue. It's a faith issue. Jesus never said, if you have power, you can say to this fig tree, be plucked up, and it'll be plucked up. He never said that. He said, if you can, the sycamore tree, pardon me. He said, but if you've had the faith, I've got the power. And he and some people think, if we had so much power, we could move the mountain. He never said, if you got power. He said, if you've got faith, I move the mountain. Nobody here has enough power. The power is God to heal. Amen. So when you get your focus on God, you start releasing faith. The moment you start releasing faith, he starts releasing power and healing and miracle things happen like that at that point. When you start releasing faith, praise God. These signs shall follow them that believe. I was in a discussion with the Church of Christ, and they was trying to tell me, if you had what the apostles had, you could do what the apostles did. I said, I can do what the apostles did. I said, I don't have the power, but God's got the power. I've got the faith. I said, if you people had the faith that you're supposed to have, you would be able to do what the apostles did. They speak with tongues by faith. God's got the power. If you've got the faith, he's got the power. You shall lay your hands on the sick. It doesn't say if you've got power, lay your hands on the sick. It says if you have faith, you lay your hands on the sick. It's a faith issue. Always a faith issue. It's not a power issue at all. God's got the power. There's enough power right here on the front all the way back to the back door to heal everything in this building, to save your backs of the children. There's enough power in you in this audience right now. I've had people, I was preaching a camp a while back, and they were every night before I got up to preach, they tried to sing the power down. And I said, you don't sing the power down. The power, Ephesians 3:20, according to the power that worketh in us. The power is in us working. Is the word working there is a Greek word which means active. The power is in you, active right now. If you release your faith, as you release your faith, he releases the power within you and starts healing and doing great things. Praise God. Amen. The things of God are clearly seen. Somebody says, I don't understand God. You don't understand everything about God. There's much about God you can understand. Tonight, when it's dark, when we leave this facility tonight, before I go any farther, I meant to have my wife stand. I want her to stand and let you see her. She's a beautiful lady. I don't want someone to. Thank you. Praise God. So good looking, I didn't want anybody to invite her out to lunch. Now, she wouldn't go unless you said, I'm going to take you to lunch. After that, I'm going to take you out shopping, buy you some shoes. She'll go with you. Amen. She'll compromise like that. Amen. Amen. But, so let me get back to trying to preach and get out of this carnal spirit of me right now. Are we okay right now so far? Are we doing all right so far? I'm going to talk to you. Nothing I say today is to glorify me. It's simply to glorify God and the blessings I've had in praying and helping people. But when you go out of church tonight, you look up into the sky, you're going to see stars if the clouds are gone. And the Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God. The things of God are clearly seen. And when you look up in there, you see those stars, you'll listen real carefully. They're saying, look at me. Something put me here. Something shaped me, put me here. I'm hanging here by some power, not of my own. The universe declares that God is great. God is powerful. When you step out tonight, you ain't got to have a song or a sermon. You can look up there and listen to the universe as it says you. There's over 1 million galaxies and 1 million stars in every galaxy. And it's saying, look at me. I'm telling you, God is great. There's something wonderful going on. God holds me right where I'm at. There's an invisible power working. Praise God. I know somebody's very proud they invented all these wireless cell phones. God invented the wireless communication long before the cell phone. Amen. This was not Apple, this was God. Amen. We've been praising God for years and he feels the praises of his people. He is here right now. The praises of God makes him at home. Praise God. And so the things of God are clearly seen. I have watched God do so many wonderful things. A while back I was in Kentucky preaching. And you talk about the power of God is so clearly seen. Let me explain to you the power of God. The power of God is God's strength to do something. The authority of God is his right to do it. His power is his strength to do it. Somebody says, well, we need more of the authority of God. You got the authority of God. And the power of God is God's strength to do something. That's his power. Nothing equals his power. Human energy can never be converted to divine power. God's power is a power and a force all of its own. And I was in Kentucky preaching, and I was preaching that day. Brother Stone King was one of the speakers. We were having a great faith deal in Kentucky, and I got to preaching, and I walked down this section right over here, and I got on that first pew and stepped on that first pew, stepped over to the next pew, walked down about five pews, preaching away, praying I wouldn't fall and kill myself as I went. And I stepped on one pew, and a lady started shouting, and she told me afterwards, said, the moment you stepped right on my pew, the Holy Ghost healed me immediately in my neck and my back. I was immediately healed. There was a man sitting next to her, said, I was a backslider. I came to this service to try to get back with God. I got my tongue kind of looked. Don't you wish you could do that? And he stood up and God baptized him with the Holy Ghost. This is the power of God. I have clearly seen God in his power. I was preaching in the Mississippi camp one night, and after service, I walked in the back and greeted a few folks. The Lord was still moving, and a lady came up to me and said, I need to say something to you. I said, ma'am, I'm the speaker here. I'm not in charge of anything in this camp. She says, well, I need to talk to you. She said, something happened to me a while ago. She said, I came to this service tonight with massive cataracts on my eyes. She said, in the midst of the altar service praying down there, something melted, and the cataracts melted and rolled down my cheek. And she said, I'm seeing clear now. The things of God are clearly seen. If you'll let your faith out, you're going to see God do wonderful things. If you release your faith, you're going to see a wonderful God do great and mighty and wonderful things. The things of God. I've seen God's grace in such a wonderful favor. We had a family in our church years ago was teaching a Bible study to a family. And this couple invited the man's father to come into the Bible study. Mr. Emmett came into the Bible study, and he sat there, and then he started asking questions. He came with the sole purpose to destroy this Bible study, and he did it. And finally, the kids got disinterested and shut it down and quit. It was a few months later, maybe 3 or 4 years later, I got a call, and they asked me to come to the hospital. Mr. Emmett was in the hospital. When I went into the hospital, I walked into his room. I said, yes, sir, what can I do for you? He said, Brother Davis, you remember me? I said, yes, I do. You won't forget a man like that. It sabotages a Bible study. And he said, I need help. I said, what'd you call me for? He said, I knew you would tell me the truth. He said, I think I got the big C. He says, I think I'm dying with cancer. And they've done the test and I'll know in a couple of days. But he said, I don't want to die lost. I know you can help me be saved. I said, all right. So I left and went back a few days later. And he told me, said, they determine I meet up with cancer, I have no hope. I'll be here a few days and I'll be released to go home. To die, he said, I don't want to die lost. And so a minister was with me. He was sitting on the side of the bed in his pajamas with a monitor in his pocket. You may have heard me tell this. I don't remember if I did or not, but it's a fascinating story. We put our hands on him and started praying for him. The bed started shaking. He started shaking, and all of a sudden, he was talking in tongues. I'm talking about a grace of God that looks at what a man has done and said, I'm going to save you anyway. Amen. God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I stepped out because I heard commotion in the hall, so I stepped out of the room. When I did, there was nurses running down the hallway coming down there, and they turned right into the room and said, what's going on in here? And he was sobbing and talking in tongues. He said, I've received the Holy Ghost. They said, we know something happened. We're in the nurse's station and was looking at the monitors, and they're going haywire. The monitor in his pocket was connected to those screens and those needles. She said, those needles are going everywhere. I said, we have preached for years. When you receive the Holy Ghost, something goes on in you that's unreal. And I said, now you verified it with a monitor and a screen here. We know something happens. When God comes into a man, something mighty and wonderful happens. I have clearly seen the grace of God. This was God's grace. When the religious people talk about grace, they mean grace plus nothing, minus nothing. That's not what it says. Grace is not the merited favor of God. The actual word means the favor of God. Whether you merit it or not, it doesn't matter about that. It simply means that there is a God of grace. And God looked down at this man, baptized him with the Holy Ghost. And I told the lady, I said, ma'am, nurses, I said, we need to baptize this man. And she said, sir, I don't have a baptismal place. I said, ma'am, this is a hospital. You got water somewhere I can baptize this man. And she called his doctor and he said, yes, whatever the reverend wants to do, go for it. And so the next day we come back and they took him downstairs into a therapy rehab place. There was a therapy pool there. And this was an experience that I had. My wife was with me, two or three ladies from our church, and there was some Pentecostal-minded people there in the nursing room. When we went into this facility, there was this massive pool with a table there, electronic table, and we put Mr. Emmett on this table. And there was a young black orderly there. I said, you're going to help me baptize this man. He said, I don't know about it. I said, all I got you to do, all I need you to do is do exactly what I tell you the moment I tell you. I said, when I tell you, you push the button and let his body down in this water. And when I say change it, you raise him back up. Don't let him drown right here. Don't let him slide over this table now. He said, all right. He was already nervous. This little guy was hippie. He was so sweet. Bless his heart. He was terrified. I had ladies standing over there talking in tongues, you know, doing the foreign language stuff. And they were praising God. And the Holy Ghost was falling, and Mr. Emmett was talking in tongues. I said, I'm going to put my hand on his head and say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. When I do that, you push the button, let him down in the water. And the moment I say something, when I finish my words, you raise him back up. Now, I don't want to lose him right here in the pool. He said, all right, I got you. I said, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. And he went down, and all of a sudden, reversed it, brought him back up. He was spitting water, praising God, talking in tongues. I'm talking about a grace that looks down at people. The grace of God I had clearly seen. I have clearly seen the grace of God. Sometimes things are invisible. God is not invisible. You cannot see his spirit, but you can see his grace clearly by the things which he has done and is doing. You see his power and his creative ability like that. Praise God. Praise God. The things of him are clearly seen. Everybody clap your hands and shout amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. Oh, the things of him, his power. There was a song written one time, and the last verse to this song goes like this, if I can remember it. I had it down on my iPad, but I don't have it with me up here to preach from. They found these words written on a padded cell. When the man died, they took him out to bury him. He was in a mental institution, and they took these words and copied them down and put them with a song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, where the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earthly quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor would the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. They said a crazy man wrote that. That guy wasn't crazy. He saw a love that most people never see. Praise God. Praise God. There is a love that reaches out to people that you and I have a hard time loving. There is a love that reaches out to people that you and I don't even want to be near sometimes. God loves them just as much as he loves us. Now we think we're the 99 in the fold, but he would leave the 99 and go out and find the one on the side in the darkness and the storm. If you're here today without God, God loves you. My mama never loved me. God loves you today. My dad never loved me. That doesn't matter. God loves you. I've got people that don't love me. God loves you far better than President Obama ever thought about love. He don't know the meaning of the word. God loves you, and that love is clearly seen. I watched these slides, this presentation, when I saw people worshiping God. I'm a pastor, minister long enough, you can see behind every person standing here. There is a story about them walking into a church, shocked by the noise, the hand clapping, hands raised. It's a story behind all of that. And everybody's got their story. I didn't know what was going on here, but I decided I would pray. I would try what they were doing, and it started working. And behind everyone is a great story. We don't have time for all the stories of people. We did. Man, the books could not contain the greatness and the glory of God. The love of God is clearly seen on the faces of people. When you see an apostolic face, we don't mirror the culture of this world. We don't mirror this culture. When you see the apostolic church, we mirror the culture of grace and power and of love. When you see the face of an apostolic church, you see a God of power and a God of love and a God of grace. There is so much mercy and grace in God. Don't be surprised at how great God is. Just brag, talk about it. Talk about it. Praise God for it. Everybody say praise God.
Praise God.
Bless his good name. We had a case some years ago. Sister Scott, Brother Scott, he's a black minister in our church, a great family, great couple. They operate our Saturday morning prayer breakfast service, and it's a great day. They've done a great job with it, bear all expenses, and they're wonderful people, and her grandmother was in the hospital dying, and she asked me, would I go pray for her? I said, I'll be glad to. So I went down to the hospital. This is a unique story. I went into the hospital, and when I got there, she said, Brother Davis, we'll go back here in the room where she's at. And there was a bleeding going on in her body. The doctors could not find how to fix this and all. They didn't know what to do for her. They kept on. And so I went in there to pray for her. And they said, you'll have to pardon the smell. She's losing blood so fast. And I said, all right. I remember being in that hospital. I walked in there and prayed for her and asked God to heal her. Brother Scott was with me. We prayed for God to touch the grandmother. And he didn't heal her at that point. I walked out. As soon as I walked outside, I remember I had been in that hospital once before. And I asked the nurse, I said, ma'am, where's your chapel at? I need to go there and pray. She took me down to the chapel. I went into the chapel. When I knelt down in the chapel, I remembered I was there several years ago. I have a lady in my church who's part of the nurse world, and a fellow nurse of hers had a niece in there dying in the hospital. And she sent me a notice, would you go pray for us in Warner Robins, where I went to. I went to Warner Robins to pray for this girl, and I won't ever forget this. What had happened was this girl was about 22 years old. She was pregnant. And they did not know it. She did not know it when it happened. But the baby in her died, and toxic poison spread through her body. And when I walked in that hospital that day, I walked into the waiting area. The father was in there. The mother was there. Family members. Everything was dim. The lights was off. It was sad. He walked out, shook my hand, introduced himself. He said, my daughter's in there. She's dying now. He said, we thought we was going to get a grandbaby, and I lost the grandbaby, and I'm losing my daughter too. He said, you'll have a partner. I said, I ain't come to be entertained. You don't have to talk. Nobody has to talk to me. I come to pray for your daughter. He said, I appreciate that. And I remember walking into that room and walking over that girl's body. It was swollen, blue, all kind of wires coming away from out of her body. It was a horrible situation. I stood there with my hand on her head, and I said, Jesus, if you are walking in here physically in the body, you will not walk out of here and let this girl look. You see the family's broken. You see their suffering. And now I begin to realize the love and the mercy of this great God. And I asked God to touch her body. And when I walked out of there, I asked the nurse, I said, ma'am, I felt so much doubt there, so much negative fear about dying, and there was so much doubt there and fear. And I said, could you guide me to the chapel to pray? So I went in the chapel and I prayed for this girl. Again, I repeated to God those same words. I said, they may never come to church and may never be saved, but let them see this great loving God that I serve, that I talk about. I talk about a great God, and I want you to do it, Lord. If they never serve you, let them know that you did step into their world one time. Amen. And the next day, I went back to the hospital. As soon as I walked into the door in the waiting area, the lights was on, the coffee was on, the donuts was there. Everybody was up laughing. The man come out and grabbed me and said, when you left yesterday, something happened. He said, my daughter had a complete reversal. He said, they're taking right now to Emory in Atlanta. And he said, we think we're going to keep our daughter. She's going to be okay. Whatever you did, God, he said, something happened. I said, it was nothing me. I went in that chapel and prayed. And I went back to that chapel again to pray for both Sister Scott's grandmother. And I remember leaving the chapel, and then they called me and said, Brother Davis, they're taking her to Atlanta by helicopter. This was fascinating. The helicopter took off with her grandmother in it. When they got to Emory in Atlanta, the doctor said, I need to check this lady one more time so I'll know what to do. And they run her through a check, and he come back and said, why do y'all send me this girl for? This woman, she's fine. There's nothing going on there. They said, she's lost pints of blood. He said, nothing there. There's no bleeding now. She's well. Somewhere in that helicopter when she took off in the sky, there was a God. I'm telling you right now, the things of him are clearly seen. Everybody can shout amen to that. Everybody here can. Clap your hands and shout yes to the Lord. The things of him are clearly seen. And so his love and his grace. And they brought her back home. And Sister Scott said, Brother Davis, you can't believe what happened. Said, while she's in the helicopter in the air going to Emory, God healed her body right there. God is a gracious God and a loving God. I wish everybody could see the good God. Sometimes people come to church with so much doubt in them, they're almost daring somebody to help. I dare you to help me. Well, we're going to go through that little dare spirit. If you've got it today, it's unwelcome here. I want you to wake up and realize there is a God that enjoys healing. Praise God. You don't pray to talk God into being good. God's good if you never pray. God's good if you never worship. God is not going to be good because you worship. And I said this last night. I doubt if you got it. Can you raise my monitor just a shade for me? Is there anybody up there? Raise my monitor just a little bit. Not much. Just an edge for me. There you go. Thank you, man. You look sharp. I like that shirt. You look sharp today. Good. Praise God. Everybody say praise God. I wish people would understand that the focus on God is not, you don't pray and worship to make God good. God's good if you never pray. Amen. If you never worship, God's good. God is good. Psalms 145, the Lord is good to all. God was good yesterday. God's good today. God's going to be good tomorrow. If you leave and never come back and you die a drunk, God is still great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. What a wonderful God we serve. Amen, amen, amen. Sometimes. sometimes I can't shout it loud enough. Through my surgery and my stroke, I lost so much volume and strength here. Everybody keeps telling me, no, you got it back. No, I haven't either. I'm trying to get it back. I'm trying to get back to where I irritate people. Amen, 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 amen. And I ride down the road now. They told me if I would exercise my lungs, I got a machine. I breathe, take deep breaths, and trying to raise that bubble up to so many height. And I keep doing this over and over and over. And I sometimes ride down the road as loud as I can, raising my voice as loud as I can in that car. I'm waiting on somebody to pull me over one day and call 911. The guy's flipped out. He's screaming at himself. I've made up my answer. They say, you were screaming at yourself. I said, yes, I am. I'm hard-headed. I have to scream at myself to get myself to understand what I'm saying. But God is so gracious. And I love magnifying and praising God. His power is so absolute. There is nothing that is an affront to the power of God. When God wills something to be done, you're not going to stop it from happening. The best thing you to do is release your faith and your worship and let it go big. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It was the Philistines when they said Israel brought the ark out in 1 Samuel during the conflict. Eli told them to bring the ark of God out. The Philistines said they have brought out, notice this, the Philistines, they were so crazy. They were so dumb. They said they have brought out the gods against us. They didn't bring out any gods against you. One God can handle you. God came out. They said, y'all better get to fight me. And they told the Philistines, y'all fight like you've never fought before. These are the ones that their God went out and destroyed Egypt and parted the sea. It knows around. After a while, everybody will get to knowing how good God is. When you let God loose in a church, after a while, it goes like wildfire. Everybody catches on to how great and how mighty God is. I don't know if you're on Facebook or not. I'm not. I've never been on Facebook. I know of a lot of folks that's on two Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter. I don't know what all that means. I don't know what it is. I know very little about computers. And I don't like all that stuff. At our church, sometimes I have a problem with getting young people to walk in there and turn that junk off long enough to connect to God. They walk around with that thing on all the time looking at it. I told one guy, he's sitting on the front, I said, you ever get tired of that thing? He said, no, I don't. I said, I do. Turn it off a while. Little old guy's 22 years old, sweet guy, already got married and divorced. He don't get the message. After a while, you got to disconnect from everything in the world and connect to God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his great name together. Praise God. I love to talk about the greatness and the power of God. My wife and I went down from our city about 50 miles down to a hospital. A pastor's wife there was about to go in for her surgery. We got there and walked into the room. And we prayed with her before she went into surgery. A miraculous thing happened. They thought she had cancer. And so she went down into the surgery, and after a little bit, she woke up and said, is it all over? The doctor said, everything's over. We didn't do anything. We brought you down here. Something. He said, ma'am, there was a divine hand that went right in and took care of it before I ever put the knife to your body. Something has already happened. He said, you can leave here talking about a miracle. This was a doctor saying this. This was God. I have clearly seen God step by step by step take on situation after situation. God's not afraid of anything. The power of God is never frustrated or thought. Once God wills and decrees himself to do something, he's not afraid of it. Nothing is going to stop. Once you know the will of God, you don't ever need to back it up with some doubt and fear. You don't need to sit down and talk yourself out of a miracle. Don't ever do that. Don't talk yourself out of what God wants to do for you. And don't let anybody else talk you out of that. The doctor told me the other day, he said, Brother Davis, you will never come out of this stroke, all of this, with everything like it used to be. And I'm slowly getting back to what it used to be. You would not believe in the last 3 weeks what God has done for me. I walk so much, trying to walk and exercise, stay trim and handsome like I am. It's a fight. But I'm glad that it's taken on. And so I was in the mall walking the other day, and I said, I'm going to make, the mall is a quarter of a mile around it. I try to make four laps if I can. And I started to walk around it, and I felt so good. I said, God, I feel so good. I'm going to do something I haven't done in a while. I started running through that mall, running around that mall. Running around that thing. I felt so good having that kind of energy. Don't let somebody talk you out of your faith in God. Come on. Every time you tell someone, I've got a sickness, they're going to tell you, I knew 10 people that died with that. I'm not a statistic. I'm a faith person.
I got confidence in God. I'm a faith person. Praise God. Everybody clap your hands and shout yes to the Lord. Praise God. If you would focus on what I'm saying right now, if you're sick, I don't care what the doctor said, I don't care what anybody else said, if you would focus on God while I'm talking right now, God is in you. God is in you to do something. And wherever your pain is, wherever your problem is, God ain't got to come down from heaven. He's already in you. All he's got to do is move about in you. Know you not that your body, most people think that God's in their heart. The Bible doesn't say God's in your heart. The Bible said your body is the temple. God's in your body. Praise be unto God. Blessed be the Lord our God. The things of him are so clearly seen. If you want to open your eyes and see, you can see God over and over. I've had so many wonderful things happen when I prayed for people, not because of me. You can never take credit. Let me explain this to you. You cannot take credit for healing and miracles. You only can take credit for the fact I prayed and I believed. It's okay. God doesn't fault that. You can't take credit for doing it. You didn't do it. You can't heal anybody. You're not the healer. But you can take credit. I did pray and I believe God. I believe God. I've told people this. I said, I believe God. I prayed. A nurse told me the other day, said, Reverend Davis, you are a walking miracle. I said, I know it. She said, I want you to pray for me. I said, are you sure? She said, yeah. I said, I usually get answers. She said, well, I want you to pray for me. I said, God does answer. Praise God. Our God heals people. Most of the time when we pray for somebody, we got it in our mind. Are they going to come to church and get baptized, get the Holy Ghost? They might not. But the fact is this, the Bible said the goodness of the Lord leads you to repentance. You let God be good enough to people, they'll start changing in their lives. And repentance is change. Sometimes you have someone backslide and they'll come back to the altar and stand there and cry a little bit. And someone said, he repented last night. You don't know if he repented. He cried. He's sorrowful. But repentance is change. You're not repentant because you cry. That's an emotional response, which is good. God has saw it work in repentance. I know it works a change in us, but it is different. Sometimes we have misconceptions on these things and we judge things wrong. But the things of Jesus are clearly seen. It's not hard to understand God. It's not hard to see the power of the Holy Ghost. And when you release your faith, God releases his power. Right now, I haven't had anybody touch me. They don't have to. Right now, where you are, God can heal your body. We had one of the most unique experiences. When you talk about the grace of God, a girl in our church said, would you go by and pray for my brother, Mickey White? And so I went down to the hospital. I lost first. I couldn't find the right hospital. They never told me what hospital he was in. And so I went to the wrong one. And so I started to just forget the whole situation. But the Lord said no. So I then called the office and they located where he was. And I went to the right hospital, walked into his room. He said, Brother Davis, he said, I am dying. I'm not asking for a miracle. I'm not asking for healing. He said, I don't want to go to hell. I used to be in your church when I was 8 years old. I was baptized in Jesus' name in your church as a child. Your wife was my Sunday school teacher. We bought a piece of land, had a house on it. We remodeled the house, and that's what we converted to our worship place, church. And he said, I was there. And he said, I was in a little Sunday school room. There was a small room, a little electric heater, a little gas heater there. And he said, I remember your wife, Sister Greta, he called her. She'd bring cookies and feed us cookies as she teaches and talk to us. I said, she don't do that anymore. She talks to me and teaches me all the time, never gives me the cookies. He laughed, said, she was a great lady. She was a beautiful lady. I said, yes, she is. So I prayed with him, and I went back to pray with him again. My wife was with me this time. We walked into the room where he was, and he said, I want you to pray for me. I need help. He said, you don't have to ask God to heal me. He said, I'm dying. He said, I've been on drugs, alcohol. He said, I've wasted my life. I'm nothing. He said, I just don't want to be lost. So we went over right beside his bed, started praying for him. I put my hand on his head. My wife touched his hand. Maybe we started praying for him. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost hit him. The whole bed was shaking. He was talking in tongues. And the power of God, the nurse walked in at that time. She said, don't bother me. I know all about Pentecost. And he looked at her and said, ma'am, I just got that full-blown Holy Ghost right now. It just happened to me. God filled him right there with the Holy Ghost. About 3 weeks later, he died, and he had his funeral. When I preached his funeral, I did not glamorize anything. I said, the story I got to tell you today is not about a story about a big change or a great guy. I'm going to tell you the story about grace, what grace can do, how God's grace can reach out to someone unfit, unworthy. And I said, Mickey, we prayed back through, received the Holy Ghost, he'd been baptized in Jesus' name. That's all he was asking for. He never asked for healing, and we never asked God to heal him. I asked God to keep him alive till he got filled with the Holy Ghost. That's all I was asking for. And I'm going to tell you right now, the things of God are clearly seen. The Apostle Peter talked about people that are willingly ignorant. Some folks are willingly ignorant. They want to be ignorant. They want to doubt. I was having a Bible debate in Alabama, and they were giving me fits about healing and miracles because I believe in God's power. And I was in another one, at another place in a big school auditorium, and they'd come to me, brought poison, said, "I want you to drink poison tonight." I ain't gonna drink no poison. They said, "If you drink anything deadly, it will not hurt you." I said, "It doesn't say that if you got the Holy Ghost." That's not what it says. I said, "It never says it. It never said if you got the Holy Ghost, you can drink poison things that won't hurt you. It said if you believe." I said, "You told me you as a believer, I'm gonna give you the poison, I'm gonna pray for you." He said, "No, I'm not going to drink it." I said, "Yeah, you said you was a believer. Either you're not a believer or you are. Are you an unbeliever? I'd like to know. I want everybody in this group tonight to know, a couple hundred people. I said, I want them to know if you're a believer or if you're an unbeliever. So here's a poison. I want you to drink it. That way we'll know you're a believer." That scripture does not say if you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you can drink poison or handle snakes. That's not what it says. It says, "He that believeth." I said, "You said you was a believer. Now, if you are, drink the poison. Let me pray for you. Come on now. Are you a sissy or what? What are you?" I went over to his table where he was and stood there and did that. They got up and said, "All right, we want Mr. Davis to get on his side of the room." I said, "No, I'm in part of this debate. I could be anywhere. I can go out in the foyer and do this. I can do what I want to. This is my debate. I got this time. I can do what I want to do." I said, "I want to know if you're up to it. Or is it all talk?" The world doesn't understand truth in scriptures. It's not about how much power you got. It's about how much power God has. If you've got faith, he's got the power. Amen. If you've got faith today, anything can happen. The things of him are clearly seen. And I can talk on and on about the things I have watched God do. Now, I'm not a man of a lot of faith. I fight for faith. I fight for faith every day of my life. I pray, "God, give me fresh faith, strong faith. Let me look in the face of things and give me faith." I went through a sickness and I prayed hard. My wife was gracious to help me through all this and pray with me. And I appreciate her and people in church, they knew how to help people know. God's people know how to stand up and face the power of the devil. We're not afraid. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's not a poem in the Hallmark card on the counter. That's the book. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The God in this church is greater than any doubt, any fear, any sickness. Our God is greater. One of the greatest revelations that come to me, I'm always throwing that word out, and I guess I may be misunderstood. You know, I went and prayed for someone one time, and I was wrestling with the fear of myself. If they didn't get healed, the Lord says, "It's nothing to do with you healing." He said, "You ain't got to heal a living soul." One of the greatest comforts that came to me, when I pray for sick people, I don't have to heal anything or anybody. I don't have to do anything. That's a great, it's like the sun. I thank God. I wake up every morning. I ain't got to worry about the sun coming up. Thank God. God took that burden off of me a long time ago. The sun's going to take care of everything else. Come on, God's going to take care of that. Sometimes we try to take care of the miracle, the healing, the sun, and there's some folks that want to take care of everything and everybody but themselves. What you need to do is take care of your doubt. If you don't get the doubt out of your life, you're never going to have the deliverance and the blessings of God. If you want doubt to be your companion, you don't want that. You want faith to be your friend, and you want faith there. Amen. Sometimes in the midst of sickness, doubt and fear stares at you in the bed, talks to you. And we're good at listening to the negative, aren't we? Huh? We are. When those 12 spies came back from the promised land, 10 of them said so much, discouraged all Israel. They went to weeping and wailing. The two of them said, "If God delight in us, he will give us the land." You know, the point is, if God is pleased with you, he's willing to do things. You don't have to talk God into being good. You ain't got to make God good. God's good no matter what you do. I hope I could emphasize this enough where you would understand when I stand to pray right now. It ain't what I feel. It ain't in the healing. It's when you stand to pray, you start releasing faith. When I pray for people, I put my focus right on Jesus, like the lady with the issue of blood. And she pressed through the crowd. Somebody says, it doesn't matter where you sit in church, you would never get her to believe that. She was in the back. She had to work her way up to the front where Jesus was. And she touched him and she was made well. The things of him are clearly seen. If you want to open your faith up and embrace God's word and act upon that, you can see a miracle happen in your own life. I've seen people get healed and go home and call me the next day. "God healed me last night and I didn't know it. I didn't feel the healing when it happened." But they said, I woke up this morning, I am well, everything is fine. I went back to the doctor, they ran the test, and they held him up to the last test and said, something has happened miraculously. You know, God can start healing right now the moment you believe. On your way home today, you can start being healed. When you get in your car, get home and lay down, and wake up the next day, you can be completely well. We all judge it instantaneously. We always think it's the bolt of lightning that hits somebody. That's not what it's all about. It's God that does it. And if God is in you, often the healing starts. It's like prayer. A praying person, the moment they stop their voice and their lips when they walk out of the building, their heart is still praying. True praying people, their heart is praying the moment they hit that back door when they walk out to their car. There's something going on. God, you're going to bless us Sunday. You're going to touch somebody Sunday morning. You're going to heal my child. You're going to do this, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost. God is a healer. I have clearly seen God heal and do great things. The things of Jesus are clearly seen. I'm not blind to it. I know what it is. I know what can happen. We had a case on a Christmas night. Young people was at our house. They got ready to leave, and the young guy there, it was a cold, icy, wet night, and he was on his motorcycle. He got ready to leave, and I said, I want you to be careful on that bike tonight. And you know, young people, they always are cocky. Huh? There's something about from one year to the next year, there's nothing in the between, and so it just flows right on through. If you notice, young kids usually don't recognize their name until they're 14. You notice that? Johnny! Right at 15, he says, yes. She said, I called you last September. What's wrong with you? And so he made a remark, got on his motorcycle. Somebody slid through and hit him on the motorcycle, hit his ankle, cut 2 inches of bone out of his ankle. They rushed him to the hospital. Then they called us, Trey, myself, all of us young people. We went down to pray for him. And I remember sitting there in the room outside the operating area. The doctor walked out and said, I cannot get the bleeding to stop. You're the pastor? I said, yes, I am. This is his youth pastor, told my Trey. I said, we've come to pray and support. He said, we better keep praying. If I don't get this bleeding stopped pretty quick, I'm going to have to amputate his foot. The doctor walked out, went back in there. We got down in that room and started praying, talking to God. The doctor walked right back in there and said, well, guess what? Bleeding stopped. Everything is clear. The boy's going to go home. He's going to have another couple of surgeries, but he's going to go home. Everything is okay. Did God do something great that night? Yes. A couple of weeks later, we was in the church on Sunday night at 6 o'clock getting ready to start. I had an emergency phone call. I went and answered the phone. There was a hospital. There was a young lady there. She said, is this Reverend Davis? I said, yes, it is. She said, I need you to have your people pray. You see, she said, I'm here at the medical center. My child is sick in need of help. And they told us that you and your people was here. There was a young man in here having surgery. And you all prayed and God touched him and God healed his leg. And she said, my child is sick. And these nurses said, you was the one I would call. I said, well, thank you. So we had special prayer. God's goodness, the things of Jesus are clearly seen. You get to praising God and get to worshiping God. Come on, say amen. When I say something good like that, respond. Praise God. If you're not used to it, do it. Praise God. David said in Psalms 34, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I must be interrupted from my praise. God should always be bubbling out with praise in my soul. The things of him are clearly seen. Let's all stand to our feet. Jesus, in your name. Praise be unto God. Let's lift our hands and let's love the Lord. Jesus, let your presence be loose right now, as I believe. Praise God. Praise God. Bless your name. Lord, your presence is here to do it. Your presence is here to do it. You are walking in this place. You are walking as if you had a physical body. You're walking through. I can hear the sound of your footsteps in my soul right now. You said, I will be your God. I will walk in you. I can hear your footsteps, not only in the church, but in my soul. I know you're here to heal someone. In the precious name of Jesus. Praise God. Bless your name. Bless your name, Jesus. That's right. Don't be quick to die down with it now. Let your faith out. If you let the faith out, there's a power that will walk through this place. Somebody's going to be healed. God brought you here to do something. You think God delights in your sickness? God gets no glory out of your sickness. God wants you well right now. But I've been prayed for before. That doesn't matter. Right now we're releasing our faith for Jesus to touch somebody. Anybody here wants to pray about any problem you've got? This is your time to walk to this altar right now. You don't need a song. All you need to do is step out with some faith right now. I'm going to walk to this altar. I'll be glad to pray for you, but don't expect it to happen because I pray for you. Expect God to respond to faith right now. Gather in with me. Raise your hands as you come. God, I am releasing my faith. You are my help right now. I've got a marital problem. I've got a child that's backslid. I've got physical problems. I've got sickness and grandkids. I need you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise. Let's pray. If you're down here, put your hand on someone next to you. Jesus, they came down here with faith, and they're expecting you to do something. I know it's not your pleasure to disappoint us. Accept us, God, as we are right now. In Jesus' name. That's right. The things of Him are very clearly seen.
Seen to us. God, we thank you for your healing power, for your deliverance, for your power that works among people. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, you can heal each one. God. Yes, Jesus.